it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this old world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Stand to our feet tonight. Sing it one more time with all your heart. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. The Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What a privilege it is once again to enter into His sanctuary with thanksgiving and praise. Did we have a time here over the weekend? Did you enjoy the Word of the Lord? Was it absolutely precious? Isn't it so good to be able to come to a place that you really like to hear the preaching of the Word of the Lord? You know, I've been in many, many services, and I'm sure you have too. They said, man, it was so good tonight, the preacher didn't even get to preach. Well, you know what? That wouldn't be considered too good around here. Because we love all the everything that leads up to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. We got to create a good atmosphere. And we all realize what our job is. But there's nothing that'll take the place of the Word of God. Nothing will ever take its place. Are you glad you love the Word tonight? Are you glad you've been called to appreciate and love the Word of the Lord? Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Now, why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God on a Wednesday night. It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this old world, I love you, buddy, it means to me, it's Jesus. Absolutely, let you ready. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. It means to me, it's Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. Several things we want to let you know about tonight. First of all, let me make this announcement. This is from Brother Barry Coffey. They wanted us to announce the men's meeting that will be held down in Newport, Tennessee again this year. It's October the 30th, October the 30th, the 31st, and November the 1st. So remember that. All the information that you need to look at is out in the lobby on the bulletin board. Due to the size of that facility, you need to pre-register before you go, just so they'll have room for you. And so there's going to be some real good ministers that's going to be ministering there during that meeting. So if you can get a chance to go, I'm sure it'd be a blessing to you. Danny Watford sends this in, a request, special prayer request for healing in my body. I have many things that are wrong with me, but I know God can fix them all. Asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Sister Janet Lehman. She's in the hospital, irregular heartbeats, and they're just going to check her out. And we'll remember her in prayer tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Lewis and Sister Linda Lawrence's daughter, Naomi, who is in the intensive care unit. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Dal Ornduff is home, sick tonight, needs healing. Let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Sister Deanna sends this in for Sister Anna Altland's brother, Wesley, who fell through his garage roof last Thursday. Has many serious injuries. If his lungs do not improve soon, they may have to do a feeding tube. Also for Brother Wade and Sister Anna, who have been at the hospital with him in Florence, South Carolina, since Thursday, and that's where the flooding is been taking place. So they're just asking that we would remember those requests tonight. Brother Bert Thomason sends this in. Thank you all that got word and have been praying for Sister Nan Cromer. Her condition was very poor on Monday through the night, and the family was gathering Tuesday not knowing what to expect. A bunch of you all got word to hold her in prayer on Tuesday. And by Tuesday night, she was turning around last night, and today she's doing tremendously better. So please keep praying and let's see what the Lord has for her. We believe your prayer has helped turn the situation around. Thank you from the depths of our heart, Brother Bert. So we just want to pray that the will of the Lord and His divine purpose would be brought about in Sister Nan's life. Sister Ruth Ann Carter sends us in. Thank you for praying for Mac's niece, Dorothy. She came through the surgery just fine. Continue to pray for her complete recovery. To God be the glory. So we praise the Lord for that. Brother Jackie Benton still needs prayer, still in a lot of pain. We'll remember him as we pray tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. If you would, pray for our little grandson, Drew, suffering from just a very severe headache this afternoon. So if you would, remember him in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, how many of you know that God is greater than whatever our problems are? You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say it's the truth. It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Brother Sam, this old world that has to me, and it's Jesus.
Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be in your house tonight, and we're thankful to be part of a family, Lord, a part of a church family. You know, we love the people here with all of our heart, and Lord, and it's a responsibility too, Father. We feel the weight of it sometimes, Lord, to pray for one another, to care for one another, Father. And we're just so glad that you have put us together, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we're going to hear your word tonight. You always speak to us, Father. We're always so blessed. We thank you for it. And Lord, the requests here are serious, Father, and I just ask you to bless these people, Lord. Please have mercy upon them and come to their rescue, Father, I pray. And Lord, and the people in South Carolina that's just so terrible down there, Lord, and just suffering humanity, and we pray for them, Father. We don't know them, Lord, but we just ask you to have mercy upon them, Father, and be with them. And speak to us tonight through your word. We know when we leave here, Lord, we will be blessed. And bless our pastor tonight. We sure appreciate him, and we thank you for him. And we also thank you for our brother William Branham, our prophet. Thank you, Lord, for this message. It means more to us now than it ever has. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Sam. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming tonight, we pray that this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Well, it's a great time to be a Christian. It's a happy day in the life of a believer. All that's going on in the world, you say, how in the earth could you be happy? How in the earth could we not be happy? I mean, it's just about going home time. You believe that with all your heart. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus walked. He washed my sins away. Yeah. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus walked. When my Jesus walked. When my Jesus walked. He washed my sins away.
Jesus won. When my Jesus won. When my Jesus won. He washed my sins away. Lord, it's a happy day. Yes, it's a happy day. Satan's Eden, it's a happy day. Aren't you glad it's a happy day? Oh, yes, it is. People are looking for reasons to get out. I'm looking for reasons to get more in. People are looking for reasons to find fault. We ain't got time to find fault. You keep your life straight, you'll be doing a big job. Is that the truth? How could you find fault with me when you've got you to worry about? That's the way I see. I can't worry about you. Look at me. I got me to worry about. But it's a happy day. Yes, a happy day. When my Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. He washed my sins away. I'm so glad they're washed away. Well, he taught me how to watch. Watch and pray. Just watch and pray. And live rejoice. It's a happy day when Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. He washed my sins. He washed them away. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say my sins are gone. They have been washed away. Now the old booger man will bring up your past every now and again. And he'll tell you how sorry you are. And what you've done. And what you wish you hadn't have done. And all this. But I'm telling him tonight, oh happy day. My sins have been washed away. You can accuse. You can say what you want to. But we are justified tonight. We have been bought by the blood of the Lamb of God. Are you glad about it tonight? You are clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a happy day. Such a happy day. When my Jesus washed. Well, when he washed. I'm so glad he washed. He washed my sins away. Yes, it's a happy day. It's a happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, it's a happy day. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We've got a special tonight we're going to use. If our sister would come on and give us her song tonight. We certainly appreciate Sister Haley, what she means to this assembly. She's good to work with anybody that'll let her help them. She'll work with them. We appreciate her. Give her a nice hand tonight as she sings for you. Thank you.
toils of this life, I have already come, and He just keeps giving the grace and the strength to just keep pressing on. He's given a promise, and I'm gonna stand on every word His holy word has said, and holding His hand, my strength can fail. Although I've tried the very best that I could, my weakness has prevailed. But it's then I remember the promise He made, that in my weakness whatever may come, His steady hand will lead me on and on. I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep I
Praise the Lord. We appreciate that song tonight. Brother Joel, are you here tonight, aren't you? Brother Joel Brown, come up here real quickly if you would. Is that Brother Joel Brown? Joel, is Joel Brown here? Well, his twin's here then. We tried to sing this song the other morning, and can't sing it like Joel. I'll tell you who I thought was Joel Brown after church, brother. Anyway, I saw his children walk in, and I just thought I saw him walk in. Let's stand. Let's sing that little song that we sung the other morning, Going Over Yonder. I wish we could sing it like Brother Joel, but we can't. Anyway, this is October, if I'm thinking right. This is October. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. I don't know how in the world we could appreciate Brother Donnie any more in October than we do in September, November, December. I know that he is a human being. He's a man. But I'm so thankful that God put this flock under his ministry to lead us to a rapture. I'm glad for that. I'm very glad for that. I'm so thankful for that. We know we're not all of it, but thank God we're part of it. Are you glad to be in the picture tonight? Brother Larry, you know the verses, how those verses go? You don't know the words to it? I'm going up yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder to be with my Lord. We're going up yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder to be with our Lord. We're going up yonder, going up yonder, we're going up yonder to be with our Lord. We're going in a rapture, going in a rapture, we're going in a rapture to be with our Lord. We're going up yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder to be with our Lord. We're going in a rapture, going in a rapture, we're going in a rapture to be with our Lord. I just want to say it's October, and we really appreciate you.
Y'all keep that up. I'm going back there. I appreciate your appreciation. I appreciate you, Ted. Let's turn tonight to the book of Numbers, if you would, chapter 22, verse 4. Numbers chapter 22, verse 4. The lives of the prophets. Amen. We want to continue with the life of Moses tonight, but we've got another person we need to interject, which Moses had to deal with. His name is Balaam. Numbers 22, verse 4. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was the king of the Moabites at that time. Now remember, they were distant kin to the children of Israel. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land, for I want not that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now this man is a heathen king. He's under the perception of the most of the heathens at this time that prophets had the ability to manipulate the gods. Of course, they were heathen, so they believed more than one god. Versus the concept of the Hebrews that a prophet spoke what God gave him, not what he wanted to speak. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, your divine presence. We're so thankful once again that we can be gathered here in this place. We're so thankful, Father, that not just is this the house of God, but we are the house of God. We thank you, Lord, in different stages of our journey and different things that we go through, that your presence is always near to help us. We ask that you'd speak to us tonight, Father. May we be blessed by our gathering together here, Lord. You take the word and break it as only you can. And we will give you praise when the service is over, and we will know that truly the same Lord Jesus has walked among us that walked with those on the way to Emmaus. And we'll say, was not our hearts so touched? Did not our hearts burn? Didn't something so thrill us to be in his presence again? Granted, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And remember, the setting of this is the last year of Israel's march in their journey. They've almost completed the 40 years of marching. Terrible things have happened thus far in this year, just to Moses personally. His sisters died. His brothers died. He's disobeyed God. He's been told by the Lord that he will not be allowed to go into the land. One trouble, one trial, one test after another, after another. And yet, Moses is pursuing right on, being faithful in the line of duty. But now, he's fixing to run into something that he's never dealt with before in this journey. Now, he's dealt with Dathan, with Korah, Abiram. He's dealt with the complaints of the people. He's dealt with the arguments of the people. And he's dealt with lack of water, lack of bread, lack of meat, all kinds of different issues that they've dealt with before. But now he's fixing to come across something that he's never dealt with in the journey. Now remember, they are about 7-8 months, something like that, from getting ready to cross over. This is a very important thing strategically in the type also of us in the last day. Now, God could have, in his wisdom, of course, told Moses this is going to happen and be ready. It'll happen the first month after you're out, second year after you're out. But it's amazing when you look at it that God allowed this prophet Balaam to come right at the very end when they're getting close and ready to cross over into the land. Now, that has a great significance for us as well. Now, let's read, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 2, because the statement I'm going to make about Balaam might be a little bit profound for you, because Balaam was actually a prophet. Now, Joshua calls Balaam a soothsayer, but yet the Bible also calls Balaam a prophet. Now, he was a prophet in the sense that he was gifted and he had the ability to contact God. But he also had the ability to sell the gift that he had and be able to use it in a means by which he would gain this other title, which was a soothsayer. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now notice the characteristic about Balaam that the New Testament identifies, that Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. So he loves money. So he is a man that is willing to sell his gift for ill gain. And it's going to be ill-gotten gain. Notice verse 16. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Now notice, he is identified as a prophet. Now a prophet is one who has the ability, as we know, to be able to contact God, to break into the realm to which God would be able to deal with them. Now one of the difference between a false prophet and a true prophet is that you'll see this token or this assignment that God himself gives to the true prophet of God, and that is the word of the Lord came to thus and so. Now it doesn't say that in the same sense about a false prophet. Even though the false prophet can have dreams, he can have visions, he can have visitations, but yet the way the word says it, it is this personal identity that God makes with his true prophets, and that is the person of the word. Now, Balaam was a prophet. You believe that? Balaam had the true anointing, the very same spirit that Moses had on him. You believe that? Watch this, anointed ones. Moses, a man sent from God with the word of God and on his journey, taking Israel into the promised land strictly with a commandment of God, he met another prophet. Another anointed one that had a genuine anointing of the same Holy Spirit that was upon Moses. Now notice when this happens. This did not happen 40 years ago. It doesn't happen 30 years ago. But it happens right the last year, the last 6-7 months before they're fixing to go into the land of promise. And then someone rises up that has the same anointing, the same Holy Ghost that will be able to contact God, but he's going to project to them doctrine which will be contrary than what the true prophet of God said, which was Moses. Now, it's going to be up to the people of God to be able to look at both of these men. And it's going to be left up to them to decide which one they are going to follow. God will not make them follow Moses. God will not make them follow Balaam. As far as looking at the anointing, they both will have the same anointing. Balaam will prophesy. His prophecy will not immediately come to pass. As a matter of fact, some of it did not come to pass until 2,800 years later. But yet he would prophesy one of the true messianic prophecies about the Lord Jesus. He prophesied about Jacob's end and about the tribes, how they would go out. Now there's no way for them to be able to stand there and see that come to pass, but yet it did come to pass exactly. And yet you'd not be able to judge it then just by right then what was being said. So you would have to go just beyond the prophetic part because a lot of it was going to appertain to the future. So you would have to judge him by the doctrine which he was preaching. And what's he trying to accomplish? Because every prophet, every messenger, whether he's a prophet or not, has an agenda of something he's trying to accomplish. Every preacher, whether he's a message preacher or not,
about. He has something that he's trying to get over. He has something that he's trying to accomplish. It is a personal agenda, or it is a denominational agenda, or if he's a sincere man, it is the agenda as far as he knows, the best he understands of what God wants to accomplish. So we wouldn't be able to judge Balaam just by prophecy, because most of his prophecy was going to be in the future. Balaam never said, now tomorrow this and this and this will happen, and there'll be a donkey come over here and a mule go over there, and there'll be a flock of birds come this way. He gave us no prophecy like that at all. But all of his prophecy was set forth in the future. So none of the people there would be able to judge him just by prophecy alone. But they could judge him by his doctrine. Praise the Lord. Now listen, don't forget this. So here is one anointed one, and here is another anointed one, and both of them are speaking true prophecy, but yet there is a vast difference in the doctrine of what they are saying and what they are trying to accomplish. Now Balaam is a very sneaky sort of fella. He is a soothsayer, but he is a prophet. I hope that don't stagger you, but that is what the Bible calls him. Notice again now, Brother Ram goes on to say, he was a prophet. The Holy Spirit was upon this man. His name was Balaam. We're all acquainted with him. And the very things that the man said is still taking place 2,800 years ago. So now if you're going to judge a man by being a prophet, just by prophecy alone, you'd have to say Balaam was a genuine prophet of God. Praise the Lord. You don't judge him by prophecy alone. You judge him by his doctrine. It was the teaching of Balaam that brought the children of Israel into corrupt bondage and made them curse, of course, in the eyes of God. Not Balaam's prophecy. Because the prophecy, there was no way to judge it, since it was going to be in the future, years down the road. Notice again he says in paragraph 68, Balaam anointed with the same spirit that was upon Moses. What was the difference? The teaching of Moses was perfect. Now notice, so we cannot compare just prophetic utterance. We cannot compare altars. We cannot even compare the right number of sacrifices. Or we cannot compare if they are the right animal. Because all of those above that I just mentioned to you, they were identical to the T. The altar, the way he made it, was exactly like Moses' altar. The sacrifices were exactly the right animals. The numbers in the sequence of God's order were exactly the right numbers. What was the difference? Teaching. The anointed teaching of the hour. Praise the Lord. Come on, children. Don't sit there like a bunch of people don't understand what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying. How are we going to know in this day the teaching of the word? Well, this so-and-so's got miracles, so-and-so, sure they do. But we don't judge what thus saith the Lord. 50 years down the road, this and this are going to happen. Well, I don't know if any of us even live or not to even judge a man by that prophecy. But we can judge him right now by his doctrine and what he's trying to accomplish. Now watch, Brother Ben said the teaching of Moses was perfect. The Bible said here in 2 Peter that it was the teaching of Balaam that Israel received that God never did forgive. Unpardonable sin. So when you receive the teaching of a true prophet of God, then you reject that teaching. And you receive the teaching of a false prophet. You can actually cross the line and never come back. Now, only God knows when that is. I have no idea. I don't want to know. But all I'm doing is showing you the type. Remember, it was an unpardonable, unforgivable sin once they turned out. The prophecy? Was it the prophecy of Balaam? No. No way for them to know that. Years on down the road, it was the teaching of Balaam. Now watch, he said not a one of them got saved, though they come under the blessings of God, seeing the hand of God moved by this mighty prophet, and seeing exactly vindicated by God, and because another prophet come in with a teaching contrary, and disputed with Moses and tried to prove to the people that Brother Branham, Moses was wrong. Oh my. He goes on down to say, to go after his organization. Now listen at the teaching of Balaam. We're all the same. Whether we're Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, we're all the same. Look at a bunch of these defectors, friends. What are they trying to destroy? The revelation of the bride. That the bride is not the same as the church. We're all the same. We're all the same. There's no doubt. We didn't need a prophet Noah. We didn't need all that stuff. They might not have, but we did. Because we are not the same. The bride is not the same as the church. It is simply not the same. That's what's been restored, and that's what the devil's going to try to attack. Now, here the prophet is saying, we're not the same, so those who say they are false prophets and liars. Do what you want to with it. If they're saying we're all the same, they might be the same, but the bride is not the same. And to accept that teaching is to accept the teaching of Balaam under a false anointed speaker. Oh my. Notice he says, we are not the same. You are a separated people. Holy unto the Lord, dedicated to the Word and the Spirit of God to bear fruit of His promise of this day. Fruit of His promise of this day. We are not just here as a repeat of Acts 2. We are not just a repeat of what Luther had, what Wesley had, just a restoration of the gifts. We are to bring forth the fruit of this hour, which will be the message in the last days. And I don't know about you, there ain't enough devils in hell going to stop me from doing it either. I'm going to bring forth the fruit. What is the fruit? The teaching of the season. Amen. That's why we are right on target. Anybody that tells you we're on the same, well, they go plumb back to the days of Balaam. Well, there's no difference in that. That goes plumb back to the days of Balaam. That ain't nothing new. That's been around for thousands and thousands of years. And look what it produced in them. Their names was removed from the book of life. If that's what you want, that's up to you. But myself, I don't want that at all. Now, what's this? We're not the same. We're a separated people. Holy unto the Lord. Dedicated to the Word and the Spirit. Notice what we're dedicated to. We're dedicated to the Word and to the Spirit of God. To bear fruit of His promise of this day. And you're not of them. I know that's awful strong, but that's the truth just the same. Dedicated to a service in the last days. Come out from amongst it. Somebody that's saying you can dress like them and talk like them and act like them. It's the voice of Balaam again. I said it's the voice of a false prophet. Oh my. Now watch what this king needs, a spokesman. He needs a man that can be able to touch God. He believes in God. Moab does, of course, because they're descendants of Lot with the incest with his daughter. So they believe in Jehovah. But they are heathens, the Moabites were. And many of the Canaanite people, when they begin to hear about Jehovah that could open up the Red Sea and do all these miracles, what many of them did was they accepted Jehovah as another one of their deities. Now, they did not do away with Chemosh and the gods and the goddesses of the Canaanites, but they were willing to accept Jehovah and add Jehovah just onto their shelf of many gods. I mean, they have no problem adding one more. My, it's kind of nice to have a god can open up the Red Sea, because now their gods never made a peep or a mutter the whole time they'd ever prayed to him. So it's kind of nice to have a God can rain bread out of heaven, quail out of heaven, do all this sort of thing. That's pretty nice, isn't it? A God that can provide clothes in the wilderness for 40 years and they never wear out. I mean, have you ever bought any shoes that you wear 40 years? You ever bought a shirt or a dress or a pair of breeches that you could wear for 40 years? That's pretty neat to have a God. So sure, we'll add this God to the collection of our gods, but God don't want to be a collection. He wants to be the only one you've got. But you see, the heathen wants to add Jehovah. Hang tight with me now. That is the problem with a denomination. They want to make him three in one, or three different gods, or one of three. They want to make him add Jesus to the Father and add the Holy Ghost to the other two. But that's not the bride's God. The bride don't have three gods. She's got one. And the fullness of the Godhead was made manifest in the person of the Lord Jesus. So Moab, you know, he knows about God, and no doubt he's heard a lot of the miracles about Jehovah, the one God, Adonai, Yahweh, and all the different names that was attributed to God of what had made this kind of this news around before them. So he hears about Balaam, and Balaam had a reputation. We don't know a whole lot about Balaam before this, but notice in verse 7, and the elders of Moab, of Midian, departed with the rewards of divination. Now, what a way to come to a prophet of God. They come with rewards of divination. Now, this tells you this man's character is kind of known around the country. I mean, he's one of these nothing from nothing leaves nothing guys. You know, if you want a blessing, then write me a check for $500 and sow a seed. That's funny how that works. That's always one-sided to them guys on TV, isn't it? Yeah, well, I wonder how many seeds they sow. Well, sow a seed. You need your bill payable, sow a seed and expect a miracle. Pass this email around and five people and go look at the envelope. Oh, you can't believe all the stuff that people are looking for. So this man, can you imagine them coming to Moses with a reward of divination? Can you imagine them coming to some of the other men of great prophets of God? Yet they come to Balaam with a reward of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balaam. Now remember, they have the heathen concept that the prophet has the ability to move and motivate the gods. So the prophet then was God's representative, or the gods, plural representative on the earth. And he had the ability to dictate to the gods. I'll tell you one thing. If a prophet could tell the gods what to do, they're pretty flimsy gods, ain't they? But the Hebrew understanding of it was the prophet never told the gods what to do, but God told his prophet what to do and what to say. But they are heathens, of course, and look how they approach him. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord. Notice, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now he's very familiar with the redemptive name of God. He's familiar enough with the message of the hour of that day to call him by the right name. And he knows enough that he comes and said, now they come and I'll tell you what I want you to do. We need to do this and this. He said, well, I can't promise you anything, but y'all just spend the night and I'll go talk to the Lord. Just see what the Lord says. I'll lodge you this night and I'll bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Now, he starts out really good. Now, he seems like that he has a pattern or a demeanor of a real prophet, because I can't tell you anything unless God tells me. And I just really don't know what God will say. So y'all just stay here and spend the night with me. Now, we know God has held communications with heathens before. As a matter of fact, God spoke to Abimelech about Abraham. God spoke to Laban about Jacob. God spoke to Pharaoh, right? God spoke to different ones that were heathens, but God speaking to them does not mean that God approves of who they are and what they are doing. But yet Balaam, now remember, this is ancient heathen time, so it's a time of great trouble, and the people didn't know exactly how to approach God and what God was and so on, but this man had the ability to be able to contact God. Notice in verse 9, and God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Now, it wasn't that God didn't know who they were, but God many times opens up a dialogue with his people by asking them a question. What doest thou here, Elijah? Where were you? How come you're here? What's going on there? And God knows the answer, but God is doing it to see how we will respond and open up a conversation. So God says, what are these men doing here with you? Well, what are they here for? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me saying, watch him now, has sent unto me saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which cover the face of the earth. Come down and curse me then. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. All right, now God said, notice he called upon the name of capital L-O-R-D. But God answers him. The attribute God answers him, Elohim. So God answers him and tells him. Now he said, no, you're not going to go. God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now here God says the exact opposite of what Balak said. Now Balak said, come. And God said, don't go. But you know what? Balaam's rent might have been due. Or Balaam might have seen a BMW mule or a Mercedes horse or some kind of something or other. You know, maybe he's running a little low on cash. And he thought, you know what? These guys, they look out to me that they could really help me along in life and really be a blessing to my ministry. Oh, my. Now, God, listen to this. God revealed his mind to Balaam, but not his heart. God revealed his mind, his will concerning these people, but it did not mean that God loved him. Oh my. Notice in verse 13, and Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get into your land. For the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. Now, what is it about no that they didn't understand? Was it the N or the O? I don't think it was either the N or the O. I think it's the way he said it. That they perceived, even though he said, no, I ain't going. You get out of here. You go on back. There was something in his voice. There was something about his response, just like it is with you and I. Oh, my. You understand that sometimes when Satan will tempt us and offer us things and try to pull us away from God, even though we say the right things, by the way we say them, the devil will come back again because he heard the way we said it and he knew we were not totally convinced. Even though we said the right thing, no devil, get out of here, leave me alone, don't you bother me, I'm telling you, get on back to hell. And he's there again tomorrow. And you say, now what was it about? No, he didn't understand. He understood every word you said. He understood every quote you gave and every scripture you gave. But apparently there was something in your voice. There was something in your expression which he picked up as a sign of weakness in your demeanor. Now can you imagine these people go back and they tell Balak, look, we done exactly what you told us to do. He went and prayed and he come back and said, no, let us go back. He said, how'd he say it? How did he say it? Tell me again how he said it. He said, go over. Over. I want your money in here. You bunch of devils. It's my fault I'm a poor prophet. A poor donkey's got 175,000 miles on her. The hoose is wore out. Here I live on a shack by the side. Go back. Go back. Leave me alone. Like some of you when you're trying to convince the devil, my mind's made up, I'm going through. Well, don't look back then when you're telling him that. I'm going all the way, I'm going through, I'm down with everything back here. Looking that way when you're talking to him. So now watch what he does. There must have been something in the expression of his voice that gave a weakness, and Balak was able to pick it up in the direction of the weakness, and that was to impress him more. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. Now we got the Supreme Court. We got the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, the President. Man, we got everybody on board. And you ain't got everybody on board as long as God ain't on board. I'd rather be on board with God if me and Him's the only one on the ship. And everybody else out here will be on the same board because it's going to sink. So watch what he reads something in there. Now remember, friends, no doubt these people were great people. And they were not just princes as far as hierarchy. But maybe it was people that were very educated. And they watched his lip. They watched him as he quivered. You understand, people who understand how to read the body, they can see this little vein right here in your head. When you are talking and how that it jumps, and they'll watch a quiver in your eye, or your eyelashes move, or your mouth right there, and they know right then because they know body language, and they can read you. No doubt old Balaam stand up, boy, he thought he made a mighty convincing sermon, but apparently it wasn't too convincing because they come on back with some boy that had more honor and greater men and more money. If it'd been real convincing, he'd have built up a torch and said, you get out of here, I'm fixing to brand your hide. You step back on this place again, I'll tell you one thing, they wouldn't have come back. Said, Balak, if you want to go, you go yourself. But there must have been some kind of weakness. Well, I'm going through with Jesus. I've sold out. I'm going through. Hey, amen. I ain't never going back. I ain't never going back. I don't think. I'm thinking... You think devils ain't read human beings since the very beginning? 6,000 years of experience they have. Can you imagine the devils you fight? It was some of the same ones that anointed them people that stood outside the ark. The demons that you are fighting are some of the same ones that was down in Sodom that day when fire come down out of heaven and annihilated them. They're not new demons. They're the same ones. They fought against Moses. They fought against Daniel. They fought against Jeremiah. They have had 6,000 years of experience. Oh my God, help us. Now notice these were great ambassadors. Verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak. Wow. Now they're kind of changing their language a little bit, ain't they? Thus saith Balak. Sort of like thus saith the Lord, except it's thus saith Balak. The son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. Now notice the message is more urgent. Oh, that's burning within them. And my, they come with such passion. Wonder why they would do that. Wonder why they would come more vehemently and more of a burning message of something there. Friends, don't you understand why the devil does the same thing to us? He watches us, he studies us, and he puts it, oh, it's an urgent thing. Oh, you got to make up your mind. You've got to do this. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You got to do it. And most of the time, that's the devil doing that to you and me. Amen. Notice verse 17. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. Oh my goodness. Now we'll make you a doctor. We'll give you an honorary degree from Cambridge. We'll give you an honorary degree from Yale and Hale and I mean all the rest of the universities. Now look at you, your degree. You got a PST, Pine Sapling Thicket degree. What good's that? Holy Ghost field degree. What do you need that for? The rapture. We'll make you an honorable man. Oh, really? Boy, you imagine they was all dressed up in the fine robes. He thought, wow, I'm glad I held out. Man alive. Wow. Dr. Balaam. We have come from Balak. Thus says Balak. I will give you great honor. Prestige. We'll have men going around polishing your shoes. You don't even have to make your own tea from now on. We'll send folks down to the grocery store to get your groceries. You'll be on a salary from the government. We'll give you Obamacare and everything. Oh, no, amen. We won't give you that. We're more influential. Them other guys, that was a mistake. We should have sent these guys here in the first place. I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me.
you're limited only to your imagination. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me, this people. Now, who do you hear talking? I hear the devil. Same one who offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world. Let me read you this. The Pope tempted Luther, offering him a cardinalship to hold his tongue. You imagine Luther, oh my, that spirit of God got such a hold of him, he tore up hell. The Catholic Church, I mean. Oh my goodness, it started a revolt and all kinds of stuff that was going on. So the Pope sent a messenger to Luther. And he offered Luther a cardinalship to hold his tongue. Why? His tongue was set on fire of the Holy Ghost. His tongue was what's causing the problems. Oh, glory. Now watch what he done. Proposing unto him the example of Aeneas Sylvius, who casting away his opinions became Pope. Now this was a man that Luther was very well acquainted with. A man that at one time had strong convictions about God and his word. But he was willing to give up his convictions under pressure. And he became the Pope. So whenever they send this message to Luther from the Pope, he said, tell him about this man and tell him about that man and tell him about that man. And Besseron of Nice, who was a poor Calover of Trebizond, became a great renowned cardinal. And Luther's having to run and hide for his life. Because the Pope's trying to kill him. So now they offer, look, this can be eased up. There's no need for you to do this. You're a brilliant scholar. You're a great man. Just compromise a little bit. Just back off a little bit. We all believe the same thing. Luther said, I don't believe the same thing you believe. I used to, but I don't know more why God opened up the book of Romans to him. Amen. Don't you see that's what the devil was trying to say? Luther was saying, we're not the same as them. But the enemy was coming, oh, you are, come on back. Brother Ron Spencer telling me the last time I'd seen him, he went to clean the chimney several years ago, and they started talking about religion. It was a very rich woman, wealthy woman there, and she started talking about God bringing up this, that, and other. He just let her talk a little bit. She was Catholic. She said, well, you know, whether you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Nazarene, doesn't really make any difference. She said, because every one of those are tied to the Mother Church through the navel cord of water baptism in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. She said, by the way, how do you baptize? He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. She said, then you are our enemy. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. I don't mind hell calling me their enemy. As a matter of fact, I'd rather them call me their enemy than their brother. They call Peter the same thing. Our Lord the same thing. So you imagine, Luther, this is Luther's response. Luther answered the messenger, I care not for the Pope's offers of any preferment. I care not. You remember whenever he took his things up there and laid it down and said, here I stand and may God have mercy on my soul. Oh, friend, when it comes right down to it, may we stand like Luther did. Here I stand too. Here I stand on water baptism in the name of our Lord Jesus. Here I stand on Malachi 4. Here I stand on God sending a prophet in the last day. Amen. Here I stand. The rapture is coming. And here I go. In a little bit, I'm going to fly away out of here. Because of my stand on the word of God. I don't want the devil's preferment. I don't want the devil's offers. I've got the greatest offer I could ever have, eternal life. You see, this temptation had been declined in weakness and reluctantly. So it's going to repeat again. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold. I cannot go beyond the word. The Lord, my God. Now that sounds really good. But that's this saying it. And not this. Boy, you're quiet on me. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God. How did he know to compound those names? To do less or more? Man alive, would think, wow. Boy, he won't even go if Balak filled his whole house with silver and gold. He's fixing to prove his own self a liar. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night. That I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Maybe God's changed his mind about his word. I mean, maybe God knows we can't live right in this age, so God's going to drop all requirements of holiness and, you know, all this sort of thing. God knows we can't live right. God knows we can live right if we get born again. Jesus can live right whether he was in his body or yours. Jesus is an overcomer. He is an overcomer. Don't tell what you boys do. I'm telling you right now, bless God, I ain't for sale. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. And I can't say nothing but what the Lord says. But I'll go ask him, because there's a possibility that the Lord may have changed his mind about his word. Now, I'm not saying for sure. God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, now listen carefully to this key. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that thou shalt do. Verse 21. And Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Okay, now wait a minute, we got a problem here. God told him to go if and when the men come to call him. Is that what verse 20 says? If the men come to call thee. Balaam is up at 4 in the morning sharp. Balaam has 2 servants. They are to saddle his ass. His mind is so made up. He is so fervent. He's out there before the roosters is even crowing. He ain't out to no rooster off the roost pole trying to saddle up that donkey. God said, if they come to you, you go with them. He never waited for them to come. He went ahead and went ahead of his servants and then saddled up his own ride. Now we move over into something different, don't we? Permissive will. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord. Now this is not an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord. Notice how Moses writes this exactly the same way the pillar of fire that come to him in the bush. The same one who come to him and said, I'll not go with you more. He said, if you don't go, Lord, I can't go. I want the angel of your presence. Notice who is standing there. God's anger was kindled because he went and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass with his 2 servants were with him. Now God's anger is so kindled. He is so angry because Balaam went right on. Oh, you see, he done exactly what God told him to do. He never done no such a thing. God told him, if they come to you, then you go with them. He never even gave them the opportunity to come. He went right ahead and went. Which shows us what was in his heart. What happened to this great declaration? I'll tell you one thing. I'll not go if he puts a whole house full of silver and gold and everything else. I'll not go. It proves down in here he was not telling the truth.
My. Notice 2 Peter again, 2:15, which forsaken the right way, who are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now the angel of the Lord stands there as an adversary against him. Now can you imagine God is fixing to kill him? God is fixing to kill him. Oh my. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord. I wonder which is the donkey in this picture. I see two donkeys. I see a two-legged one and a four-legged one. It looks like to me the four-legged donkey had more sense than the two-legged one. Praise the Lord. Now notice, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Now here he is, man alive. He's counting on that BMW and that Mercedes. And boy, they ain't no telling what in the world he's going to be. You know, he's been poor all of his life. He's just going down through there counting them gold and silver chips. And all of a sudden, this little old donkey of his, she's raised up and she sends and sees the angel of the Lord. And her eyes get about that big around. And she sees the angel of God and he's got a sword on. She said, my Lord, I don't want to become killed on this road. So she gets a hold of herself and she heads off over here in another direction. Well, you're Balaam. He was just stashing up all them gold and silver pieces and adding up his wealth and his IRA and his TRA and LLA and all the rest of the things he's working on. And man alive, he's just going down through that riding. Boy, hallelujah. I'm on my way to Balak land. I'm on my way to Balak land. And then all of a sudden, he finds himself over in the field and that donkey carrying on, kicking her. I said, what in the world is the matter with you? And notice, so he smites her, goes to hit around on her. And the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Oh my. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place. Where no way was to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. She couldn't go this way and she couldn't go that way, so she figured the only way is get down. Just get down and humble yourself. And Balaam's anger was kindled and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Now God is going to speak to Dr. Balaam here in a few minutes. But first, God wants to give Balaam a little bit of teaching under a tutor or a mentor called a donkey. God is going to humble him by giving him, sending him to donkey school. He's going to be upbraided. He's going to be corrected. He's going to be shamed by a donkey. Don't some of y'all get so sophisticated. If God can use a donkey, he can use a preacher. Come on now, God can use a preacher to shame you, or if there's something going on in your life, or something, you're expecting the angels to come down, and instead God gives you a donkey. Now watch. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee? So she goes out in the field, that don't work. She smashes his foot against the wall, that don't work. So God catches him in this narrow spot and the donkey just falls down. He goes to whooping around on her. And all of a sudden the Lord just, boop. And she raises up and looks at herself, what have I done to you? Now Peter again says was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice. So it was not the donkey going, and he understood it. God gave that donkey a man's voice. And that donkey started talking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my. Notices, and Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast smoked me, I mean, this man is so angry and so upset that he's not saying, "Dear Lord, this donkey is talking." But instead, he is so angry. You know how anger has the ability, when you get in a fit of a rage, if you have that type of anger, how that it has the ability to knock off your senses of reality. That's why the prophet said, when you lose that temper, you know you're close to insanity. A donkey is talking to this man, and he don't even seem alarmed about it. He don't even say, "Lord have mercy. What would you do if your poodle started talking to you and you go home tonight? How was the service? How'd Brother Donnie do?" Don't call me, call 911. Maybe you took the wrong meds. But look, it's not like he's saying, "Dear Lord, I can't believe this is a miracle. I cannot believe this donkey." He is so caught up. He is so angry. He is so mad. He is so self-willed. All he's concentrating on, "You aggravating donkey, you. Look what you're fixing to make me live. Here goes my pension right out the window. You crush my foot." Who wants a wounded foot knee prophet? Who wants somebody that can't even stand up? "Look what you've done. You've ruined me now. I'm going to have to go on disability." But instead of that, "Oh, I can't believe this donkey's talking. What are you saying to me?" Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there was a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee." I'm going to tell you something, friends. You may think me foolish, but God does not approve of cruelty to animals. Well, glory. He was so angry. And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass? Good Lord." So this donkey don't just say a few words, but he hears what Balaam says, and now he starts carrying on a conversation, one donkey with another. I mean, to me, it's one thing for God to give a voice to something, but then to quicken this donkey's understanding. That the donkey could actually hear what he said and start talking and understand. You believe this? And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass? Upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever ought to do this unto thee?" He said, "Nay." What is that? I want to ask you one thing. Have I ever done anything like this before? Have I ever upset you? Have I ever done? No, you ain't. It's still in him, has it? He is carrying on a conversation with this donkey, and the donkey is answering and answering the conversation. I'll tell you, friends, when we get to such a spot that God has to use a dumb animal to speak to us, we're in a bad shape. Peter was backslidden, and God had to use an animal to be able to point out his shortcomings as well. Kind of go on. Verse 31. I hear this conversation is going back and forth, back and forth. So God just simply does this. The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Amen. Oh my. Now, this man knows a terrible thing has happened. Isn't it amazing how God could let an animal see it and a human not? And then just like that, God opens the human's eyes and the human sees it right there too. Where was it? In a dimension that the human could not see. But an animal, an ignorant, dumb animal, God opened its eyes and it saw it standing there. What's this in 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 15? When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Can you imagine he's looking at him and looking at him and looking at him and looking at him, and anyway he counted it, there's still just two. So he looks at himself and he looks at Elisha and looks at himself and looks at Elisha. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I praise thee. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. And just remember, no matter how much the government comes against us or how many people turn against us, there's more with us than they are with them. There's more with us, and we're following that Elijah ministry, aren't we? Well, them horses and chariots of fire tend to go with that Elijah ministry. Remember, it was a horse and a chariot of fire that carried Elijah away. One horse or one or two horses and one chariot. Now it compounded under the ministry of Elisha to where you ain't got one chariot and a bunch of horses, but your whole mountain is full of them. And let me tell you something, little bride. You're not alone in this world. You're not alone in the darkness of this world. Oh, sometimes God may need to open up our eyes and realize there's angels all around us everywhere. They go with us when we're on a job. They go with us to school. The angel of the Lord encamp about those that fear him. They never leave you. Oh, praise God. Notice in Luke 24:15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So they're looking right at him. Looking right at him. But their eyes were holding that they wouldn't know him. Notice in verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Now here God now finally decides to open the eyes of Balaam. And when he does, Balaam goes down on his face. And notice verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Isn't it amazing that God didn't say first, how come you went with these guys? Why would God address his cruelty of dealing with this donkey this way? Because God disapproved of it. That's right. The angel of the Lord said, why hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee. Notice who's speaking. I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, watch it, hypocrite, a frivolous supposition. Oh, I didn't know you didn't want me to go. I didn't realize you didn't want me to cut my hair. I didn't know you want me to do this. Come on, children. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go! Go! I'll tell you one thing, children. We need to be so careful about what we're praying for, what we're asking for. God gives us his will and his word. And we don't want that. And we go to pray. Well, maybe there's another way. Maybe there's an alternative way. And you feel like you have the leading of the Lord to go contrary to his word. Remember, Dr. Balaam, you're getting permissive will. The very God who told him not to go now says, go. Does God change his mind? Absolutely not. God's given him what he wants. Let's stand. Now remember, this is not a command. This is a concession. A permission to do what he wants to do.
Imagine the woman preacher that got in a prayer line. Brother Bram called her and said, "You're a woman preacher. That's thus saith the Lord." Imagine if that woman really wasn't born again in the Spirit of God, had a new birth. She could take that prophet's quote and say, "The prophet of God said, thus saith the Lord. I was a preacher." I don't want God's permissive will. I don't want God to tell me, "No, you can't do this. No, you can't go there. No, you can't stop preaching this. No, you can't." And, "Oh, please, Lord, please. It's so much easier. Please, God, it's hard. I mean, everybody's doing it anymore. Lord, everybody's doing it. Nobody does it right anymore. Lord, please." And then God said, "All right, go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's what I wanted." Oh, my. Now, I don't know if Moses even knew this was going on. I don't know if the children of Israel knew. But all this is going on, preparation work. Moses and them are going along in the journey. But they're fixing to meet up with this man. And it's going to be devastating when they do. Devastating. I'm convinced if there ever raises anyone in this message who is truly anointed with signs, wonders, and miracles, and even has a little bit of discernment to tell people things about them, I'm convinced people will follow them like flies. Many of the message folks have never seen true anointed men. Mm-mm. In opposition, I mean. You come from Baptist, you come from Nazarene, you come from Methodist, come from different things. I told you, you had nothing. When you've seen some of the stuff that we've been allowed to see, those who come through Pentecost. I seen a man one night call a woman out and tell her something that was wrong with her, put his hand in an indecent position on the woman's body. I like to faint it in the service. It was so ungodly. The man called me out after he called her out and told me what I'd prayed and said to God that day, word for word. Come to find out, the man had several girlfriends in different places that he went, living with different women. "Oh, the anointing, I feel it all over me." Sure, the anointing can be the exact same anointing. But look at their teaching. Look at their teaching. Come on, children. Look at their teaching. What are they trying to merge you into? What are they trying to make you? What are they trying to get you to become? Like Christ or like them or like the world? My. May God help us in the last year or years or months of our journey. Who knows what lays between here and the crossing over? May God help us that we'll judge it every bit by the word of God. If a man could call fire out of heaven, if a man walked in here tonight and started discerning you people out. Your name is Rob. Your name, your wife's name is so-and-so. You went to a doctor yesterday. You, sir. You went to a doctor 3 weeks ago. You, Justin. Your name is Justin Reagan. You went to a doctor so-and-so. He done so-and-so. You ate so-and-so for supper. William Branham's a false prophet. Would you follow that? Some folks are following folks that ain't even preachers, much less somebody like that. But the real, real elect will not move off of that word. Praise God. You love him, children. Let's pray together. Father, we know these are serious times. You don't send these things to us, Lord, because it's a really nice Bible story. You send them to warn us. You send them that we might listen, that we might learn. Father, I pray you would help each of us. We, Lord, would constantly judge by this word. Not by gifts, not by signs, not by wonders, but by the word of God. If a man could tell us what we had for breakfast 3 years ago, tell us our name, our doctor's name, our social security number, our zip code, whatever, But if you don't speak that word, we'll stay with that word. Because it's going to be the word that's going to get us out of here. Not somebody telling me my social security number or a zip code. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight, Father. May the presence of God teach us, Lord. There's really no way for us to know what lays ahead of us as a church, as individuals, as families, as a move of God in this last days. There's no way for us to know, Lord, even this hour, what is in the shadows lurking, what is in preparation as far as the government is concerned or false prophets or whatever more, that which would try to pull people away. We don't know, Lord. But Father, we do know you will never leave your word. You cannot. So you'll never lead a God-called man away from the word. You'll never lead a true prophet or a true teacher away from the word. So help us, Lord, whether it's our mama, our daddy, our brother, our sister, whoever it is, that we stay with this word no matter what anybody says. If we have to separate, so be it, Lord. We will not embrace this modern Laodiceanism. We're all the same. There's no difference between the bride and the church. We're all the same. We don't need no prophet, no way. We are not the same. We are called unto holiness, to separation, Lord God. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm not going to spend all my time trying to worry and figure out, well, this may happen and that may happen and this and that and other. Lord, if people can show me in the message where Brother Branham preached for us to store up food and get ready for this and that and other, I'll preach the same thing. What I find him talking about storing up food was a vision that he saw. And in that vision was great big old barrels of carrots and all kinds of vegetables that was being stored up and laid up, stored up food for the bride. So Lord, that's the kind of food that I plan on getting into. And I don't want to store it so much. I want to eat it. I believe it's stored up for us. So we get in there and we feed on that word. Oh Lord, I really don't know about this theory and this could happen and black helicopters and drones and this and that and the other. There may be some truth to some of it. I don't know. But I don't find you telling me to watch for a black helicopter or Paul or Brother Branham. So until I find that, I think I'll just keep on looking for you to come instead of a drone. I think I'll just keep watching on you, Lord, instead of thinking, oh my, maybe I should do this and maybe I should do that. Why should I spend my time thinking about maybe when I have a more sure word of prophecy laying before me? That I should read and pray and read my Bible and get close to you. That is sure, Lord. These other things we're not certain about. How it will be. How will it come to pass? Oh God, help us, I pray. Help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. If Balaam arises, may we stand true. If Dathan arises, Korah arises, whatever lays in front of us, may we by the grace of God stand true and come out on the other side, Lord, because we are more than conquerors. Heavenly Father, all these things that I've mentioned tonight, oh my, hallelujah. There was Joshua and Caleb. They stood faithful through every bit of it. They never got caught up in the Dathan move. They never got caught up in the Korah move. They never got caught up in the Balaam move. They never got caught up in the manna move or the quail move or any of the rest of the moves. They just kept right on going because they had an inheritance on the other side. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray tonight, Father. May we be more determined than ever before. Lord, I pray, help us to grab this little simple principle tonight. When the devil comes against us, may we answer him with such a desire, vehemency. May we answer him with such a passion that he'll know we mean business. May there not be a quiver in our voice. And may there not be, even though we might be quoting the word, no, devil, you get away from me. But Lord, maybe it answered in such a way that he knows we are sincere and we mean it with all of our heart. It don't make no difference if he sends men with greater rewards, greater honor, whatever more. It don't make no difference. We'll tell them the same thing. We're not going back to try to find permissive will. We want your will for our lives. Oh, grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
praise you, Lord. My righteousness, I worship you. Hallelujah. Almighty God, there is none like you.
How many just wants to make sure you got the goods to be able to stand for the truth in the last day? Just raise your hand to God. Don't trust in your own ability. Don't trust in your memory to be able to quote scriptures and quote quotes. That's all well and good. But you'll always find somebody that's got a better memory than you do. And that's committed more to their memory. What we need is the power of the Holy Ghost to help us, to anoint us. Friend, we don't need, just need quotes alone. Can you imagine 1965 when Brother Branham stands in Tucson and when he dedicate that first tabernacle there? And Brother Branham says, I've got a way of getting among my brothers and sisters and talking to that brother and see that he needs to move up in the Lord. Now, I want you to think what they had. They had the message. They had many books, had many tapes, and they had the prophet himself. And yet, Brother Bram said, our kids is riding up and down the sidewalk on Sunday. They're going to movies. They're riding their bicycles. He said, and there's one thing that's always bothered me about people coming out to the desert. There's no church to go to. Now, think of it. They had tapes. They had books. And they had Elijah himself. And that still wasn't enough to keep them up where they needed to be. Now, I know some of you get mad at that. I don't care. That's what he said himself. Now, if they had all of that, Brother Jerry, and there's still a lacking in their heart because they didn't have a place to come together and fellowship and be in church, then what would you do if you take that prophet away then? And you leave them with their books and their tapes. They've got even less than what they had before. With him here, it did not meet that need in their life. They needed church. Whether or not you want to admit it, you need church. You need to come together with the saints of God. And you don't need to come at your convenience. Sometimes you need to come when it's inconvenient. You need to come when it's inconvenient. When it is a sacrifice for you to come to the house of God. You believe that? Oh my, how much more is it? Brother Branham is so, you know, and he says this about a month or so before he dies. He said, I don't know how you're feeling. He said, but I am so hungry for God. He said, I want to feel like I did when I first got saved. Those mountaintop experiences. You're talking about a prophet of God that was so deep and them revelations was all unfolding so fast in the desert. He couldn't even keep up with it. But yet his desire was, he wanted to feel like he did when he first got saved. You understand what fighting does, don't you? It tends to desensitize us. Preaching and laboring and laboring and burdens and troubles, it tends to make us where we're not as sensitive as we were before. And we tend to lose that first love for Him and for one another. Well, I think probably everybody here tonight probably would say, I want to feel like I did when I first got saved. I want my love renewed. I want my love for the Word and my feeling for Jesus. My feeling for my brothers and sisters. My feeling for my wife, my husband. How many would raise your hand and say that to God? Lord, I need to be renewed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We adore you, Father. We bless your name. Keep us in the times of Korah. Keep us in the times of Dathan, of Barham, the days of Balaam, whoever more, Lord, whatever comes our way. We're not sure what the government's going to do. We're not sure how this homosexual agenda is going to do, the marriage thing. We just don't know, Lord. But I refuse to sit around and worry about it. Why sit around and worry about it and let it rob me of the joy of the Lord in serving you? However, if it comes, you'll make a way for us, Lord. That I know for certain. Hallelujah. The chastisement of my peace was placed upon you. And it makes no sense to me that you'd suffer for my peace. And then I have to live my life full of torment. It makes no sense to me. So why should I stay up all night worrying? You're up all night anyhow. You don't ever go to bed. Oh, I'll cast all my cares on you, knowing you care for me. No matter what I face, no matter what sickness, what trouble, whatever disease comes our way, we know, Father, that you're mindful. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Right now, Father, it comes to my mind, Lord, for Brother Mike Price. Lord Jesus, you see him having that MRI on his neck, and it come back with two of these discs in his neck, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just help him bulging out and pressing against his nerves and just been tremendous pain. Father, they're going to send him to a specialist about it. But Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you'd move for our brother, that the presence of God would just touch him, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you let the angel of the Lord move for him and minister healing to his body? Grant it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. No doubt there may be others here tonight that have sick and have needs, whatever it is, Lord. May you pass by this way, the healing virtue. May the angel come through, hallelujah, and minister healing and deliverance to your children. We believe you, Father. We look to your word, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands now and give him a wave offering in his presence? Praise God. How many wants to stand for his word? If your friends turn to the left, your mama, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle, whatever favorite preacher you've got, whoever more. Oh, it'll hurt your heart. Sure it will. But yet our minds are made up. We're going to make it. We're going through by the grace of God. We ain't got our eyes on people. We ain't got our eyes on this preacher, that preacher, this church, that church. We got our eyes on Jesus. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and knowing that he will give us the strength that we need. Praise be to God. Well, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way. Bless you, saints. Love you in the Lord. See you this weekend. Let's come back expecting a wonderful time in the presence of God. Are you happy to be a Christian? Amen. Happy to be part of the family of God. God bless you. Sing it together as we go. May God go with you. I'm on my way to Canaan's land.